We live in a challenging time. And the reasons for that might vary, depends upon your perspective. What makes this time, this day, this year, challenging? I was talking to a young man out here. He was playing basketball yesterday, and I asked him if his school year was easier this year or harder. And he looked at me with this deadpan face, and he goes, harder. Challenging. What makes this year any different? For some, it might seem like a better year. The things that are happening, going on in your life, you know, what has taken place, and what you anticipate will take place this year. It might seem like this is a really good year. Well, when we turn to the Psalms and we hear that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and all those who dwell therein, and we think about the world around us and we recognize, one, not everybody's having a good year, and two, there's places I don't want to go. You know, we're all, in a one sense, and somehow, we're all a Jonah. And there's some place that we've nicknamed Nineveh. You know, and we just don't want to go there. We don't want to face their challenges. We don't want to see their horror. We don't want to be there. We don't want to place ourselves in danger. Now, there is some wisdom to not placing yourself in danger, especially when you're not prepared. But if you think about it, this Bible verse reminds us that all creation belongs to God. This whole planet. And in our current society, that's hard to fathom, because we have not only lost our own national unity, our perspective about America, the United States, we have less pride in what our nation is about, and we have more selfishness overwhelming. So for us even to think about some other country, some other tribe, some other nation, some other race or people, we just don't want to go there, because we don't even like thinking about the people in our neighborhood. Our hearts are becoming more callous every day, desensitized to the mission at hand. When we read John 3:16, we read it in a transcendent kind of way. And God so loved the world. And we don't think about people in those countries. We don't think about their circumstances. We don't think about the horrors and the persecution. We just think about, oh, well, yeah, God is kind of loving like that. And yeah, he loves everybody, and you know. And then when we go to the part about he sent Jesus, we tend to think about, well, he sent Jesus for me. For you, I'm not so sure. He sent him for me, so that I may not perish. And in that sense, it's almost as if we are even more important than anyone else on the planet. But when you go back to the Bible, does it teach that? I think you know the answer. It doesn't. In Genesis, everything was wonderful. Remember that? After each event, after each thing that God did, he said, and it was good. Yeah. You know. You ever looked at supper when your mother tried an experiment night? And you looked at the supper and the plate and you go, this isn't good. We do not have that perspective, and it is good anymore. When sin came into the world, things changed, and God saw that wasn't good. But even before creation, The Bible tells us he planned the solution to make it anew. In fact, you and I, as God's people, were called a new creation, aren't we? That we are renewed in heart, we're renewed in mind, we're renewed in our faith and in our life. We are the new creation in God, in and amongst God's creation. But the moment we get away from that truth, our hearts become thicker, meaner, more inward, and selfish. To help refresh your memory, I brought out your favorite book, the Catechism. I know you read this every day, right? And you love doing memory work. First article of the Apostles' Creed. We've already said this sentence together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And a long time, this fellow by the name of Martin Luther asked, what does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing, shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land and animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards me and protects me from all evil. All this he does out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. When we turn to the scriptures and we hear the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it and all the people who live on it, do we think of this paragraph that teaches what does this mean? That not only are you of the Lord and I am of the Lord, but we are planted by the Lord. And so is everyone else on this planet. And it is an opportunity for us to serve the Lord when we recognize that all that God has given us, we are managers instead of owners. You know, managers implies accountability, doesn't it? And from the time we're little, we fight against, we resist that kind of accountability. The earliest words we learn, right, is mama, daddy, no, mine, right? Especially if you have siblings. Or if you're around a lot of other kids that aren't your brothers or sisters, those are some of the earliest words that we learn. And in our lifestyle, that sinful nature rears its head and it says, I don't care about God. I don't care about you. All I want is what I want. And this is mine. And we are taught how to share. We learn that in preschool, we have it again in kindergarten, and on, and hopefully in the home as well. We learn how to share. But I have to tell you, that kind of teaching did not come from society. It came from God. Because God told Adam and Eve, I want you to watch over this. I want you to have dominion over it. I want you to take care of it. Because I am the Lord. They were taught to not only that God would provide for them, but that through creation he would provide for all, which included their children and their children's children. And sin made that mission rough. Remember what God told them, right? Told Eve, you're going to hurt. It's called childbirth. And he told the man, you're going to struggle. and trying to provide the garden and the fruits and the vegetables and everything else, this ground is going to resist you fulfilling that mission. It's going to be hard because you are going to toil and to sweat. Now, right then and there, when God told them about the challenge, he didn't say, okay, I take the mission back. Don't worry about it. Instead, he reminded them that he is God and he will be with them with every step of the way. And that they were to listen to him and follow his instructions. And they were to depend on him and trust him and count on him. And throughout the scriptures from then on, it talks about how the Lord is our strength, our shield, our rock, our defender, our life, our salvation. The Lord is our all. And when we say these words of the Apostles' Creed, we are proclaiming that kind of faith. The Lord is our all. Say that with me. The Lord is our all. Yeah. We are saying God is the only God. But again, we face the challenge of the sinful nature, don't we? We have some people talking about Mother God. There's another God. I don't find that in the scriptures. I have the Bible here on my iPad. I could put in a word search and say Mother God and see if it's in there. But you already know the answer. It's not. Or gods by any other name. The false gods are identified time and time again. Whether it's Baal or Moloch or any of the false gods of the day, they're identified for who they really aren't. They are not God. Our life in Christ is about having the scales drop from our eyes and the shield from our heart to enable us to love and to behold God's creation and to recognize the unique beauty of it all throughout creation. Now, you may not stand snow any longer. If you lived in Michigan, for example, and you shoveled it for the first 70 years of your life, and now you're 72, and you live here in Middle Tennessee, you're happy the snow is up there. Okay? I got that. But I bet you understand for crops in Iowa, Nebraska, Michigan, North Dakota, South Dakota, and all of that, what does that snow mean for the crop? You know the blessing of it. It's okay you don't want to shovel, but you give thanks to God that he still oversees his creation. He provides the sleet and the rain. All right, you had a picnic and it was ruined. I understand that wasn't your choice, but you recognize the beauty of it. As God provides for you and for all people on earth. Yes, we recognize sin has corrupted nature. We now have floods and pestilence and storms and all of that. But yet God also in his word says he provides for us. And out of the abundance we share. Jordan took two pieces of chocolate. They both weren't for her. One was to share. We share out of what God gives. We share out of what he has provided. Even your contributions to grace is a response to God's grace and the beauty that this is of the Lord. It's difficult, isn't it, to keep our minds on global issues? Man, we got enough trouble at home. It's difficult to pay attention to the discussion of the elections. I'm going to confess it's hard for me. Do you understand? But yet God has planted us for a purpose and a mission. And in our life and walk with Christ, it is about recognizing that even in the face of sin, there is restoration. There is renewal. And because we are of God, our intent is not to waste what he has granted, to be a disposing kind of society. Another blessing that we have is that instead of just being so picky and narrow-minded, we recognize the beauty of the snow up north and the oceans on east and west and all the lands in between, the dry land, the barren land, the deserts, the mountains, the trees, the crops, and all of it. There is wonder in it. Instead of trashing the world, we try to take care of it. For this is God's world. And therefore, we pick up after ourselves and we take care of one another and we clean up the messes. And instead of destroying each other, we try to find ways to seek peace. But again, if we walk away from what we say we believe, that I believe in God the Father Almighty, then our behavior reflects that. Every Sunday you come, every opportunity to worship, every time you're in the Word, it is an opportunity to be renewed that this is God's world and you are part of His creation. That you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And He has planted you here for a reason. The reasons and the way we serve can be different and unique, but at the same time, as a family, it all comes together. And as we come together, we all have the same mission. How may I, in my heart and in my mind, give glory to God? Amen.